Okay, good morning, everyone. I want to thank everyone for joining. And today's daf is Daf Lamed in Masechet Shabbos. Most of the daf is Agadita. But the beginning of the daf deals with a very, very important topic in regards to Masechet Shabbos, and that's the concept called Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. So we know that there are activities that we can't do on Shabbos, and those are the 39 melachos. Those were the 39 activities needed to build the Mishkan. So, for example, plowing, they had to plow in order to plant the seeds that would then become the spices, that would become the dyes to color the wool of the Mishkan. There was the planting of the seeds, there was the harvesting of the plants, there was the cooking of the plants into the dyes. All of those are melachos. There are 39 melachos. We'll get to talk about them in depth when we get to the seventh chapter. Right now, the topic of today's Gemara is going to introduce the concept called Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. So that is the Melacha, but it's not being done for the purpose for which it was done in the Mishkan. So for example, in the Mishkan, what was the purpose of extinguishing flames? It wasn't that there shouldn't be fires. Rather, they needed to cook, because they had to cook the dyes to make them into paints. So they would light a log, and then they would extinguish the log so that they would have coals, and the coals would be placed under the pot to cook the pot. So extinguishing a flame in the Mishkan was to put out a flame in order to create a burning coal. But if you have a fire going and you just don't want the fire to spread and you put water on it to stop it from spreading, you're not looking to create a coal. You're just looking to put out a fire. That would be called Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. It is the activity that was done to create the Mishkan, putting out a flame. But it's not being done for the same purpose as the purpose of why it was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they put out flames to create coals. Here, I'm putting out a flame because I don't want a fire to spread. So a Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa is a machlokas. There's a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa chayav alea, that a person is chayav for putting out a flame, even if it was for a different purpose. And Rabbi Shimon holds, Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa is pater. He is exempt. In other words, he would not have to bring a karban chatas if he did it on Shabbos, but it is asur midrabanan. It's not allowed rabbinically. Okay, so that's the important concept. We're talking about Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa, doing the Melacha, doing the action that was done in the Mishkan, doing that action on Shabbos, but doing it for a purpose different than the purpose that it was done for in the Mishkan. According to Yehuda, you would still be chayiv, you would still be a biblical violation. And according to Shimon, one would be pater, one would be exempt, albeit that's only on a biblical level. Rabbinically, it's still not allowed. So let's look at the Mishnah now. Hamechabes haner. A person has a lamp burning on Shabbos. He lit his Shabbos candles, and then he puts it out. But he's not putting it out because he wants to create a coal or he wants to create a singed wick that he'll be able to relight. He put out the candle, Mipnei Shu Misyari Mipnei Nachrim. He was afraid of the Persians. The Persians on their holidays would make it illegal for any Jew to have any lamp burning. So he put out his lamp because he doesn't want the Persians to come and to be upset with him. But he's not doing it really because he wants to create a coal or he wants to create a wick. So it's Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. It's the Melacha, putting out a flame, but not for the purpose which we had in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the purpose was to create coals, to create wicks. Here he's not creating something. He just wants to put out a flame so that the Persians, the government, not be angry with him for having a flame on when they don't want any flames going. Or Mipnei Listin. He's worried that there are robbers around. And if he has the flame on, the robbers are going to come into his house. So on Friday night, he puts out the flame because of the robbers. Or Mipnei Ruach Ra, he becomes depressed. And he's depressed, he would be upset to have the flame on. So he feels better in the dark. So he puts it out so that it's dark. Or mipnei achola sheyishan. There is a sick person in the house, and to help him sleep, he puts out the flame. So in all of these cases, pater, this would not be the biblical violation of putting out a flame on Shabbos. However, kechasal aner, as his flame is burning, he realizes, you know what? I want to use that candle for tomorrow. So I can't let it keep burning. I have to blow out the flame so that I'll have more oil for tomorrow. Or kechasal hashem, and he wants to use the oil for some other purpose. Kechasal apsila, he's putting out the flame because he wants to have the wick. He doesn't want it all to be lost. Then chayev, then he is obligated. It is a biblical violation. Rabbi Yossi patur b'chulin. Rabbi Yossi says that even these last cases that he puts out the flame in order to preserve the oil, he would be exempt. Mipnei shu chutz min apsila, except where he puts out the flame in order to preserve the wick, mipnei shu oseh pecham, because then he's making a coal. So Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi believes malacha she'ena tzricha legufa pater aleha. If you do a malacha, but it's not for the purpose that it was done for in the Mishkan, you're exempt. So all these cases, he wants the lamp for tomorrow, he wants oil for tomorrow. That's not the purpose of the Mishkan. The purpose of the Mishkan was to put flames out to create something. Through putting out the flame, a person was creating a coal. So if he's putting out the flame to create a wick, that's like the Mishkan where they were putting out flames to create coal. So then he's chayav. But everything else, according to Rabbi Yossi, he is exempt. So says the Gemara, midiktani seifa chayav, from the fact that it's said that if he's putting out a flame just to save the oil or to save the lamp, he's obligated. It's a biblical violation of Shabbos. Shema min Rabbi Yehudi. So that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that malach hashen and tzricha legufa is chayav. Because that's not the purpose of the malacha of putting out a flame. The normal purpose of putting out a flame is to create something. If I'm putting out a flame to save the oil for tomorrow, I'm not looking to create something. So Reisha b'mayaskinan asks the Gemara, what then is the beginning of the Mishnah? When it says putting out a flame for someone sick, your pater, if it's because the person is sick and his life is in danger, then it should be permitted to put out the flame. And if he's not in danger, just he's annoyed by the light, he'd rather not have the light. So then you're putting out a flame for a purpose other than the purpose of creating a coal. So then, chayev chatas miboyelet. And it should be that he's obligated a carbon chatas, because this Tana, the Tana of this Mishnah, is Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, when you did the malacha, but for a purpose other than what the Mishkan's purpose was, you're still obligated. Answers the Gemara, you're right. The beginning Tana of the Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Yehuda. But lo'olam b'chol ha'sheyesh bo sakana, when it said that you could put out a flame for someone who's sick, it's when the Mishnah said, if you put out a flame for someone who's sick, you're not obligated biblically. That's referring to someone who's sick with his life in danger. Really, it should have said that putting out a flame for someone whose life is in danger is totally allowed. But since it wanted to say at the end of the Mishnah that if somebody puts it out, he is chayev, right? If he puts out the flame to save oil, to save the lamp, he is chayiv. Tani namarisha pater. That's what he said in the beginning. But for somebody who's sick, he's not chayiv. Really means he's allowed to do it. For somebody whose life is in danger, he's allowed to put out the flame. But it just says it that he's not chayiv, which implies that it's not allowed, just because later we're going to say certain things create a chiyuv. They create a biblical obligation. But how did Tani Reb Oshia? This Reb Oshia taught, if you want to put out a flame just so that the sick person can sleep, don't do it. But if you did it, you would not have a biblical violation. It would only be a rabbinic violation. That's referring to someone who's sick and his life is not in danger. That's why he's saying there's a rabbinic violation. But if you're saying it's the view of Rabbi Yehuda, it should be a biblical violation because you're putting out a flame, albeit not for the purpose of the Mishkan, but you're still putting out a flame. You want to put out a flame. The answer is the view of Rabbi Shimon. That statement of Rabbi Oshia is following the view of Rabbi Shimon that Malacha Shein Atzricha LeGufa is Pater Ala. If you put out a flame for a purpose different than the purpose of the Mishkan, you would not have a biblical violation, you only have a rabbinic violation. Again, this is a big argument. We're going to see this many times in the Masechta, especially later on in Daf Tzadi Vav. If you do a malacha, you did the activity that was done in the Mishkan. Those are the things you're not supposed to do on Shabbos. If you did it on Shabbos, but you're doing it for a purpose different than the purpose of the Mishkan, the purpose of the Mishkan of extinguishing flames was to create coals. You're not extinguishing the flame to create a coal. You're not extinguishing the flame to create a wick. You're extinguishing the flame because it's safer not to have a flame. People are in a bad mood. If the lights are out, they'll go to sleep. So that's where we have an argument. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd still be chayev because you extinguished the flame and you wanted to extinguish the flame. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's only an Isser Drabbanan, it's only a rabbinic prohibition because it's not the purpose of the Mishkan. Okay, now we're going to go into Agadata. Sha'ol she'ela zu le'ela mi'Rab Tanchum de Minnoi. They once asked this question in front of Rab Tanchum from the city of Noi. Ma'ol l'chabas betzina de Nura. Are we allowed to turn out a flame? Nekama b'isha b'shabsa before a sick person who's in danger on Shabbos. Are we allowed to turn out a flame when we have a sick person in danger on Shabbos? Can we turn out a flame? So, I mean, we're going to see that the conclusion is that, of course, you're allowed to. If somebody is sick and his life is in danger, you can do anything to help him recover. And so, of course, you're allowed to take out a flame if that's going to help him recover. But that was the question. Are you allowed to put out the lights when you have somebody who's deathly ill? Putting out the lights is going to help him recover. Can you put out the lights? That was the question. So this question they asked Rab Tanchum of Noi, and instead of immediately addressing it, he first went on to a long agadita, a long series of interpretation of verses. Pasach v'yamar, so he began by saying, you know, when we think about Shlomo HaMelech, King Shlomo, we have a contradiction. An Shlomo, you King Shlomo, an Chachmasach, where is your wisdom? An Sich L'sunsach, where is your understanding? Lo dayecha shedvarecha sosrim, not only is it not enough that your words contradict Divrei David Avicha, the words of your father David, Ela shedvarecha sosrim zetze, your words contradict each other. David Avicha Amar, in Tehillim, King David says, Lo amesim yahaluka, the dead cannot praise God, the living can bless God. So David HaMelech is saying it's better to be alive than to be dead. However, Ata Marta, but you say, I praise the dead who've already died and the living who are still alive. So, you know, the dead, David HaMelech seems to say it's better not to die, better to be alive. And you said better to be dead than to still be alive. So your words are against David. But the truth is your words are against themselves. V'amarta, you've also said, Ki lekelav chai hu tov min ha'aryeh hames. A living dog is better than a dead lion. So in other words, better to be alive on any level than to be dead as a great person who died. So you yourself are saying that life is better than death. So you're contradicting yourself. Not only did you contradict David, your father. This is the question that Rabbi Tanchum raised. It's an agad, it's a question. And then he gave an answer. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. This that King David said the dead can't praise God, but the living can, so better to be alive than dead. This is what he means. A person should always be busy doing, learning Torah, fulfilling God's commandments before he dies. Because once a person dies, he can't fulfill Torah anymore, he can't fulfill mitzvos. And God is no longer praising him because he's no longer able to do the mitzvos. Rabbi Yochanan, that's Rabbi Yochanan said, what's the meaning of the verse? Bameisim chavshi, the dead are free. Kevin shemeis adam, once a person dies, nasa chavshi min haTorah min haMitzvos. He's now free from learning Torah or fulfilling mitzvos. He can't do it anymore. Udakamar Shlomo, but this is Shlomo said, V'shaveach ani esameisim shekvar meisu, min haChayim asher chayim odena, I praise the dead who died than those who are living. That didn't mean that it's better to be dead than to be alive. It's better to be alive than to be dead, because when you're alive, you can do mitzvahs. When you're dead, you can't. What he was saying is that some of those who have died, they are so special that they have more merits than people who are currently alive. Sometimes we get things in the merit of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, even though they're dead, and we wouldn't be able to get it in our own merit, because they were so great. That's all he meant to say. For example, Shekishachat Yisrael Bamidbar, when the Jews sinned with the golden calf, Amad Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe stood before God, v'amar, and he said, Kama tfilos, many prayers, v'tachanunim, and supplications, lefana before God, v'lo nana, God didn't grant it. However, Kishama, once he said, he didn't grant forgiveness, but once Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zchor l'Avram Yitzhak l'Yisrael avodecha, remember the merits of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, your servants, miyad nana, then right away he was answered. So that's why v'lo yaf amar Shlomo, it wasn't a good that Shlomo said, v'shabeach ani asaneis m'shekfar meisu minachayim, m'shekhayim odana. I praise the dead who've already died than the living who are still alive. They hear Moshe Rabbeinu is alive and his prayers are not able to achieve blessing for the nation. Whereas he invokes the merits of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that's able to bring merits to the nation. Davar Acher, another explanation. And Moshe said, I praise the dead who've already died. What he meant was, in Hagol Shel Olam, the normal way of the world, Sar Basar V'dam Gozer Gzeira, when a ruler of flesh and blood makes a decree, Safik Mekai Menosa, Safik Ein Mekai Menosa. We're not sure, are people going to listen or they're not going to listen? Im Tim Zalom Mekai Menosa, even if they do listen, V'chayiv Mekai Menosa, they'll fulfill it when he's alive. V'moso Ein Mekai Menosa, when he's dead, they're not going to fulfill it. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu gazer kama gzeir svetikin kama takanas, Moshe Rabbeinu made many decrees, made many institutions. He told us to learn the Torah, to read the Parsha every week. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted other enactments. And they last forever. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech meant. Isn't it right what Shlomo said? I praise the dead more than the living. Doesn't mean it's better to be dead than to be alive. What he meant is that certain people, they have authority even after they're dead, whereas others, normal people, alive, they have authority when they're alive. When they're dead, they don't have authority. Davar Acher, another explanation, what did Shlomo HaMelech mean when he said, I praise the dead more than the living? Kid Rav Yehuda Marav, this is like the view of Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav. Rav Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda is the name of Rav. My dechiv, what's the meaning of the verse? Asei mi os letova, do for me a sign for the good, v'yiru son I v'yevoshu, and let my enemies see and be embarrassed. Amar David l'tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David says before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Machal li al oso avon, forgive me for that sin. We know David HaMelech had a terrible sin. He took the wife of Uriah Achiti, Batsheva, and he married her. Then he arranged for her husband to be killed. So David HaMelech said, forgive me for that sin. Amar lo, God said to him, Machal lecha, forgiven. Amar lo, so then David said, Asei mi os, v'chayai, do for me a sign in my lifetime that it's forgiven. Amar lo, God said to him, In your lifetime, I'm not going to prove that you've been forgiven. But in the life of Shlomo, your son, I'm going to inform all that you've been forgiven. And what's that? It's the famous story when Shlomo wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash. When Shlomo built the Holy Temple, he wanted to bring in the Holy Ark into the Holiest of Holies. Dav kusharim zebazet. Miraculously, the gates locked. They were glued to each other, and they wouldn't allow the Aron in. Amar Shlomo esav abarinano. So Shlomo composed at that time 24 praises of God. In other words, 24. He expanded Shmona Esrei to 24 blessings, praises and supplications. Velo nan, and still he wasn't answered. Pasach v'amar. So then Shlomo began and said, Shushar Mashaychem, lift up gates your heads, v'hinasu pischei olam, and rise up the entrances to the world, v'yavu melech hakavod, and let the king of honor enter. And they still didn't open. Ratu basu lemivlei, in fact, the gates chased after Shlomo to swallow him, because they thought that he's saying, I'm the king of honor, open up for my sake. That's very insulting. So then Shlomo said, no. Amru, the gate said to Shlomo, Mihu zeh melech hakavod, who do you refer to as the king of honor? Amar lehu, so Shlomo said, I'm not referring to myself. Hashem izuz v'gibor, God is the strong one, he's the mighty one. Chazar v'amar, so then Shlomo said, Su'ushar m'rashechem, lift up gates, your openings, Us'u pischi olam, and open the gates of the world. V'yavo melech ha'kavod, and let the king of honor enter. Mihu ze melech ha'kavod, who is the king of honor? Hashem Tzvakos, God, the Lord of all hosts, melech ha'kavod, Tzela, is the king of honor. V'lo nana. And again, Shlomo HaMelech was not answered. Kevan Sha'amar, but once he said, Hashem Elokim al Toshev Pnei Mishichecha, Zachor L'Chazdei David Avdecha, God, your Lord, do not disappoint the face of the Anointed One. Remember all the acts of kindness of David, your servant, of my father. Miyad Nana, then he was answered and the gates opened. Ba'osasha, at that moment, Nebchu Pnei Kolsone David, all the faces of those who hated David turned Kishulek Deira, like the black on the bottom of a pot. V'yadu kol ha'am v'chol Yisrael, and all the people and all of Israel knew Shemachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Oso Avon, that God had forgiven him for that sin. V'lo yafa amar Shlomo. So therefore, isn't it good that Shlomo HaMelech said, V'shabeach ani es ha'mesim shekvar mesu, I praise the dead who've already died more than the living. He's referring to his father. Now, when his father was alive, nobody saw that his father was forgiven. But once his father died, then everybody saw that his father was forgiven, because the invocation of his father's merit opened up the gates of the Kodesh HaKadashim for the Holy Ark. Yeah, certainly. And that's also what the verse says about when he inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash. By Yom HaShmini, on the eighth day, Shalach HaSa'am, Shlomo sent the people back home. Vayivarchu HaSamelech, and they blessed the king. Vayilchu La'alem, they went to their tents, Smechem V'tove Lev, happy with good hearts. Al Kol HaTov Asher Asa Hashem, for all the good that God did. L'David Avdo, for David his servant, L'Yisrael Amo, and for Israel his people. All right, now let's talk about that verse. V'yechol Olam, they went to their tents. That's Shematzu Neshoseim B'Tahara. They found that their wives were not nidas. They were all pure. Smeichem, they were happy. Shenenu Mizev Ashchina, that they had enjoyed the light of the divine presence. V'tovei Lev, and they had goodness of heart. Shenes Abu Neshoseim Shekol Echad V'yechav Yolda Zachar. Each one's wife became pregnant and gave birth to a son. For all the goodness that David had done, that Hashem had done for David his servant, that's what we just taught. Everyone was happy that they saw that God had forgiven David for the sin of Bathsheba, and they were happy for Israel, for the nation of Israel. Explains the Gemara, that the year that they had inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech decreed celebration, and part of the celebration was to eat on Yom Kippur. So the people were very happy when they realized that that sin of eating on Yom Kippur had been forgiven. What's that? Yeah, question. God forgave David. God forgave. Correct. That's right. The merits of King David caused the gates to open. So everyone was happy that they saw that God had forgiven David for the sin of being with Bathsheba and doing what he did to Uriah. I think because his tshuva was very heartfelt. And the power of tshuva is so strong. No, it's the power of Hashem, and Hashem was granting him this gift in honor of his father because of the merits of his father. Okay, so now the Gemara goes on to say, okay, Udakamar Shlomo. Now let's go back. Again, we had a contradiction. On the one hand, Shlomo HaMelech says, Mishabeach anias hamesim shekvar mesu, I praise the dead who've already died. That sounds like it's better to be dead than to be alive. On the other hand, Shlomo HaMelech said, Ki lakelev chai hu tov min ar yameis. Shlomo HaMelech said that a living dog is better than a dead lion. Well, that sounds like it's better to be alive than to be dead. So the answer to that contradiction is, Kidri Rav Yehuda Marav, like the lesson of Rav Yehuda Marav, Tam Rav Yehuda Marav, my dechtiv, what's the meaning of the verse? Hodieni Hashem kitzi, God inform me of my end, midas yamai mahi, in the length of my days, what is it? Eid mechadel ani, let me know when I'm going to end. Amar davar lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Hodieni Hashem kitzi, tell me what's going to be with me. Amar lo, God said, Gzeri milfan Hashem modi in kitzo shel basar v'dam, I never tell a person when he's going to die. Umidas yamai mahi, and what about the length of my days, what is it? So God said again, Gzeri milfan, it's a decree, I do not inform a person of his length of days. So then David asked, "Ve'ed machad al ani," and let me know what day during the week I'm going to stop living. Amar lo, he said, "Okay, that I'll tell you. The Shabbos, Thomas. You're going to die on a Shabbos." So then David said, "Amos bechel b'Shabbos. I'd rather die on a Sunday. So if I die on a Sunday, right away they can eulogize me. They won't have to wait." Amar lo, God said to him, no. Kvar higia malchus Shlomo bincha. On Sunday, it's already time for Shlomo, your son, to be the ruler. Ein malchus nogas b'chaverta afilu kimlo nima. One rulership cannot touch its friend, even a drop. So then David said, Amos b'erev Shabbos, let me die on Friday. Amar lo, so God said to him, no. Ki tov yom b'chatzei recha me'elef. You've already said better one day in your courtyards than 1,000. And I say, Tov li yom echad sha'ata yoshev osik batorah. Better for me one day of you learning Torah. Me elef olos sha'asid Shlomo bincha lahakriv lefonai al gabi amizbeach. And 1,000 olos that Shlomo will bring before me. So I don't want you to die a day earlier than you're supposed to. Okay, turning now to Daf Lamed Amud Bet, page 30b. And we are learning about the end of David HaMelech's life. Kol Yom HaDeShabsa, that day, the Shabbos of his 70th birthday, Hava Yasa V'Garas Kula Yoma, he was sitting and learning Torah all day because Torah protects. And so he knew that if he'd be learning Torah, the angel of death couldn't take him. So, Ayu Yom HaDeBoy LeMeinach Nafshe, when it was the day that he was supposed to die, the angel of death had a problem. David HaMelech is learning all the time. If he's learning, he can't die. So what did he do? Kamalach Hamavas Kamei, the angel of death got up to take his life. Lo Yachal, he couldn't take his life, though. The Pasuk Bum Megir says, his mouth wasn't stopping to review his learning of Torah. Amar, so the angel of death said, Mai Avile, what can I do? Avile Bustina Chore Besa. He had a garden of trees behind his house. Asamalach Hamavas, the angel of death came, Salachu Vachash Bi'ilma. He went up and he started shaking the trees. And when the branches were rustling, David HaMelech was distracted. Nafak Lemechsi went out to see this rustling. Havasalik Bedarga, and he was climbing steps. Ifchas Darga Medute, the step collapsed underneath him. Ishtik, and then David was distracted. He stopped his learning. Venach Nafshe, and then the angel of death was able to take his soul, and he passed away. Shalach Shlomo Lebe Midrash. So when David HaMelech died, his son Shlomo HaMelech asked two questions. Abba mei semutal b'chama. My father is dead, and he's out in the sun. The body is out in the sun. So it's disrespectful to the body. On the other hand, the body is muktza. He didn't prepare a dead body from before Shabbos. So we learned the other couple days, it's muktza. So on the one hand, my father is out in the sun. On the other hand, uklavim shel beis avo re'evim. And, you know, the dogs of my father's household are hungry. Maybe they'll desecrate the dead body. My asset, what can I do to move my father's dead body? And also, can I move a dead animal to feed the dogs? Shalchule, so they said to him like this, Chatoch nevela v'hanach lifnei klavim. If you have a dead animal, a nevela, just cut a piece off and put that in front of the dogs. That you're allowed to do. Vavicha, now your father is muktza. Hanachal of kikar. Put on your father's body a loaf of bread. Otinok, or a baby, a child, which is not muktza. And then vitalto, you can carry the two together. So this was the story. So now you see what Shlomo HaMelech meant. V'lo yafam ar Shlomo. So you see what Shlomo is saying. A living dog is better off than a dead lion. His father was a lion, and yet when he's dead, his father is muktzah. You can't move his father's body. Whereas a dog, which is alive, you can cut a piece of nevela for the dog on Shabbos. But he's not saying that it's better to be alive than to be dead. He was saying tzaddikim, when they're dead, they're greater than those who are living. What are you saying when he says it's better to, you know, a living dog has it better off than a dead lion? What he meant is in regards to this law of muktzah. Now, in regards to the question that you asked, now he finally gets back to the question. Rabbi Tanchum finally gets back to the question after this whole discussion about how important a human life is. So now, can you put out a candle on Shabbos to help someone who's sick? So about that question, absolutely. Ner, kruya, ner. A candle is called a lamp, a ner. Nishmaso shel adam kruya ner. A person's soul is also called a candle. Mutav ticha b'ner shel vaser v'dam. Better that the human candle should be put out, the lamp. Yipnei neiro shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to preserve God's candle, to preserve the human soul. So the answer is yes. No, in halacha it applies to all lives. The original halacha was for Jews, yeah, but ultimately it applies to all lives because of the issues of Eva. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishmei d'Rav. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, say the name of Rav. Talking again about Agadita. Bikshu chachamim lignos Sefer Kohelet. Shlomo HaMelech wrote, we know, three books of wisdom: Mishlei, Kohelet, and Shira Shirim. We read Kohelet on Sukkot. It's a very depressing book. Shlomo HaMelech says, I was looking for joy in life. I thought maybe I would find it through power, through happiness. Nothing is good. Sof davar akol nishmat. At the end of it, there's only one thing that's good. Et Elokim yiravet mitzvotav shmor kizeh kol adam. Fear God, do his mitzvot. That is the sum total of man. So I'm Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, Mishmei de Rav. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, said in the name of Rav, Bikshu chacham ligno sefer Koheles. The rabbis wanted to put away the book of Koheles. Yipnei shedvarav sosrim zed zeh. Because the book of Koheles is filled with contradictions. But why didn't they put it away? Because at the beginning of the book of Koheles, we learn about major lessons of Torah, and at the end of the book of Koheles, we also learn important lessons of Torah. The beginning is about Torah. The Chassid, as it says, Ma'yisol adam uchalam aloshi yamol tachas hashamesh. What gain is there for a person in all of his toil that he labors under the sun? Amr Dibir Bianai, they explain in the Yeshiva Bianai, Tachas HaShemesh U'de'ein Lo, the labors of under the sun have no gain. But Kodem Shemesh, but that which is before the sun, namely learning Torah, Yesh Lo, has a gain. So for Dibir Torah, the end of the book of Koheles is also about Torah. The Chassid, as it says, Sof Devar Kol Nishmat, the end of the matter, it's all heard. Es Elokim Yirah, fear God, Es Mitzvos Tashmor, keep His commandments, Kizeh Kol Adam, that's the entirety of a person. My Kizeh Kol Adam, what's the meaning of the phrase Kizeh Kol Adam, this is the entirety of a person? Amar Belazar, Belazar explained, Kol Olam Kulo Lo Nivra Ela Bishvil Zeh, the whole world was only created for this thing, that a person should fear God and keep his mitzvos. Amar Rabbi Bar Kahana said, Shakul Zeh Keneged Kol Olam Kulo, this person is equal to the entirety of the whole world. Shmuel ben Azay explains, Amila Shmuel ben Zoma Omer, some say Shmuel ben Zoma said, what does it mean, Kizeh kol adam lo nivra kol olam kulo el letzavos lezeh? The whole world was created just to be a friend of the man who's busy with Torah. Okay, so when we understand how the beginning of Koheles and the end of Koheles tell us it's so important to study Torah and to do mitzvot, that's special, that's great. But what's there in Koheles that's contradictory one to the other? Save on the one hand, it says, Tov ka'as mischok, better anger than laughter. Save on the other hand, the verse says, L'schok amarti mehulal, to laughter, I said that it is praised. So is laughter praised or is laughter not good? So another contradiction. Ksiv, it says, Vishibachti anias ha-simcha, and I praise joy. Uksiv, and then it says, L'simcha mazo osa. What does joy accomplish? So my answer is the contradictions. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. This is it said, Tov kas mischok, better anger than laughter. Tov kash, akoyes ha-kodesh baruch ha-la tzadikim, ba'olam hazeh, mischok, she-mesachek ha-kodesh baruch ha-la-rashayim ba'olam hazeh. Better the anger that God is upset with the righteous in this world. That's better than the laughter that God laughs about the wicked in this world. In other words, the righteous suffer in this world, and that's good, because in the next world, which is eternal, they'll have it all good. The wicked have it good in this world, but that's bad, because in the next world, they'll have it bad, and that world is eternal. It'll be bad for eternity. Uleschok amarti muhulal, this that Shlomo HaMelech said, I praised laughter. Zeschok shemesach ha-kodesh baruch ha-metzadikim olam hazeh. Oh my God, that's the laughter that God has with the righteous in the next world, that he's laughing with them. That's praise. V'shibach din, he has a simcha. This that it says, and I praise the joy, that's simcha shel mitzvah, the joy of a mitzvah. Ula simcha mazu osa, when Shlomo HaMelech says, but what's the point of joy? Is simcha she'ena shel mitzvah. That's the joy which doesn't have to do with the mitzvah. L'amedchan, this teaches you the lesson that we have also in Masechet Psachim. Ein shechina shora, the divine presence will not rest upon a person, lo mitoch atzvos, not if he's depressed, lo mitoch atzlos, not if he's lazy, lo mitoch schok, not in terms of laughter. V'lo mitoch kalos rosh, and not out of lightheadedness. V'lo mitoch sicha, nor out of empty words. V'lo mitoch dvarim b'tehillim, not out of nonsense. Ela mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. The divine presence only rests in the context of the joy of doing a mitzvah. Shenamar, as we find that when the prophet Elisha wanted to get prophecy, he said, Va'at kuli minagein, bring for me someone to play music. It'll be when the musician plays the music, and the presence of God was upon him. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rita said, the same thing is true in regards to a halacha, that if you want to teach Torah, everybody should be happy, and you should start with simcha shel mitzvah. Amar Rava said, the same thing is true, v'chein l'chalom tov. If you want to have a good dream, go to sleep with the joy of simcha shel mitzvah. And if you're in a good mood when you go to sleep, you'll merit to have a good dream. So now the Gemara asks, is it really true that you should start with some humor when you're going to study halacha? Ain't is this so? Didn't Rav Gidol say in the Marav, call Talmud Rav Chacham, Shoshu Fnei Rav Ovin, Sivsosov Not Fosmar, any Torah scholar who's sitting in front of his teacher and his lips are not dripping with trembling, with awe. Tichvena, his lips deserve to be burned. Shenam, as the verse says, Sivsosav Shoshanim Not Fosmor Over. His lips that are filled with learning are dripping with the passing more. Al Tikri Mor Over, Elamar Over. In other words, he has to have passing bitterness. Al Tikri Shoshanim. Ela Shoshonim, those who are learning have to be very serious. Answer the Gemara, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Habirabba, the teacher, should be in a good mood. He should be laughing, he should have jokes, he should start off b'simcha shel mitzvah with the joy of the mitzvah. Habitalma, the student should be trembling in fear, awed. I better take every word seriously to internalize the words of the Torah. Ibai is same alternatively, of Habirabba, both psukim are talking about the teacher, but lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Before he starts the learning, he should put everybody in a good mood with joy, with jokes and joy of mitzvah. Once he started the learning, then it should be serious. Like we had the lesson with Rabbi. Before he would begin for the rabbis, he would start with a joke. And he would make the rabbis feel happy. And then later, when he'd get into the middle of the class, he'd sit with awe and begin with the deep halachic analysis. All right, so that's in terms of Koheles. Koheles has contradictions. We can resolve all the contradictions. Koheles is a great book because Koheles emphasizes the importance of learning Torah and fulfilling mitzvos. What about Mishlei? V'af sefer Mishlei bikshu liknos. The rabbis also wanted to put away the book of Proverbs, the book of Mishlei. Shayu dvarav sosun zetzet, because also it had contradictions. U'mipnei malog nazu, why did they not put it away? Amri, they said, Lav Sefer Koheles, Lav Aininu Vashkehin and Taima. Didn't we analyze the verses in Koheles and were able to resolve all of them? Hachanami, let's do the same. The Aininan, let's look deeply into Mishlei. and we'll be able to resolve it. My dvarv sosin said that. Where were the contradictions in Proverbs? Ksiv, on the one hand, the verse says, Al tan ksil ki ivalto. Do not respond to the fool with his foolishness or like his foolishness. Ksiv, then we have another verse that says, Ane ksil ki ivalto. Answer a fool according to his foolishness. So it's a contradiction. One verse says, when the fool is saying idiotic things, don't say anything back. And the other verse says, no, if he's being a fool, you respond to the foolishness. So again, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Rabbi divrei Torah, when it's talking about Torah, so about Torah matters, you answer him in his foolish way. But in matters of the world, you just ignore him when he's being foolish. Ki hadahi, like this story, a fellow came in front of Rabbi Amrile, and he said to him, Ishtacha ishti. He said foolishness. He said, your wife, Rabbi, is really my wife. Banecha, the people that you think are your sons, are really Banai. They're really my sons. In other words, he said, you, Rabbi, the Rebbetzin was Mazana with me. So Amar Le, so Rabbi said to him, Ritzon chashatishta kos yayin, do you want to drink a cup of wine? In other words, he didn't really answer him. He was just saying, listen, thank you for telling me this favor, right? You want to get some drunk? So Shata, the guy drank, upak, and then he dropped dead. So Rebbe didn't really answer him. He just said, okay, you know, drink your wine and drop dead. So basically, he was a fool. He was ignoring the foolishness that the man was saying. It was a similar story. A fellow came in front of Rebbe Chia. Amar Lei, he said to Rebbe Chia, Imcha Ishti, your mother is my wife. In other words, you're really my son. And your mother was Mazana with me. You're a mamzer. Va'ata b'ni, you're really my son. Amar Lei, so he also ignored it. He said, Ritzon chashatish to kosh shel yain, you want to drink some wine? He said, yeah, I'll drink wine. Shati, drink the wine, upak, and he dropped dead. Reb Chia said, Ahanulate Slusala Rebbe. Rebbe's prayer was good for him. That they shouldn't say about his children that they are mamzerim. To Rebbe Kavamatzli, when Rebbe used to pray, Amr used to say, may it be your will, God of my Lord, Shatatzilenu Ayome Azepanim. Save me today from the brazen people who make up crazy stories, who may azus panim, and save me from brazenness, and so save me from people making up false rumors that my children aren't really my children. Now, the Divrei Torah, if somebody says some foolish thing about Torah, we do respond. Mahi, what was the story? Ki adi asav Rabban Gamliel v'kadarsh. Rabban Gamliel was once sitting and interpreting the following and saying, Asida isha shetel b'cho yom. In the future, a woman is going to give birth to a child every day. Shenamar, as it says, Hara, she'll become pregnant, and then Violeta Siachta. Right away, as she becomes pregnant, she'll give birth. Liglev Golov also Talmud, so there was a student who made fun of this. Amar, he said, doesn't it say in Koheles, Ein Kol Chadash Tachas HaShamesh, there's not going to be anything new under the sun, so how is human nature going to change? Amar Le, so he responded to him, and he said to him, Bo V'Arecha, I'll show you that such things do exist in this world. Nafach achvelei tarnagolas. He showed him a chicken. Every day she produces another egg. The su yasav Rabban Gamliel v'kadar. Rabban Gamliel was once sitting and teaching another thing. Asidim ilano shemotzi in Paris b'chol yom. In the future, the fruits, the trees are going to produce new fruits every day. Shenam, as it says, v'nasa anaf, the branch will give forth, v'asa pri and make a fruit. Ma'anaf b'chol yom, just like branches come out every day. Af pri b'chol yom, there'll be a new fruit every day. Legally, Gavel of Oso Talmud, a student made fun of him. Amar, he said, Vaksir, but doesn't it say in Kol Chadash Tachas HaShemesh, there can't be anything new under the sun? Amar Leis, he said to him again, Bo Varecha Dugmasim Bolam Hazet, let me show you an example in this world. Nafak Achvi Leit Slav, he showed him the caper plant. Every day, new capers appear on the plant. Vesu Yasser, Rabban Gamliel, Vakadarish, again, Rabban Gamliel was sitting and teaching, Asid Eretz Yisrael, Shototzi Glusko Sukli Milas. The land of Israel is going to produce on the trees loaves of bread and clothing. Shenamar, as it says, Yihi pisas bar ba'aretz. Let there be clothing in the land. Ligli gavalo oso tamas. So again, a student mocked it. Amar, he said, doesn't it say in Kol Chadash Tachas HaShemesh, there's not going to be anything new under the sun? Amar le, bo ba'arecha dugmas mal mazet. Let me show you something like this in this world. Nafak achvi lekmein v'pitrius. He went and he showed him mushrooms. Mushrooms show up right on the walls. The walls are growing the mushrooms. So the trees can also grow the trees will be able to grow the fibers to be clothing and the loaves to be bread. The achli milas, and this that you were wondering, how could the land produce clothing? Nivra barkura, look at all the webs that are on the beams. And, you know, the spider's web looks like clothing. These are fibers. The same way, you know, the trees, God willing, soon, coming of Mashiach are going to be producing the clothing for all of us. So Ad Kan, Daf Lamed in Masechet Shabbos.